Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Biblical Woman Podcast. My name's Kat, your favorite extroverted introvert, Bible student, and mega nerd. If you can see my amazing background here, if you are on Spotify video, I'm a nerd. I'm a Christian nerd at the core.
And I'm Nicole, your consistently dark chocolate eating, coffee drinking, classic fiction reading friend. And on the side, I'm a Christian counselor and author.
So I've always wanted to ask Nicole, what is like your favorite like classical fiction book? Like your top one, you can only pick one.
Oh, probably Les Mis.
Okay.
I remember when I read that a few years ago, I had never seen the movie. I didn't know anything about the plot. Like I knew nothing about it other than it was this hugely famous thing, right? I started reading that book and it was like I binge read over like Memorial Day weekend. I just loved it. I thought it was so beautiful. Like it's such a beautiful story. So I think for that reason, I would have to say Les Mis.
So you're a binge reader and not necessarily like binge TV watcher. You go for the books, the good books.
Yeah. Especially, man, if it's really good. Yeah. Oh yeah.
See, I'm a little bit weird. You know, I really like Lovecraft. That's my go-to. I do have to pull out the dictionary in order to be able to understand some of the words, but I do really like a good Lovecraft story.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just love the way that classic fiction is written, even though sometimes it is more difficult to understand. I just think it's just beautiful.
Well, you know, growing our brains. We're stretching that muscle. We are growing strong.
We are. I just finished Anna Karenina by Tolstoy. And for those of you who are old like me and know the show Saved by the Bell, Lisa Turtle did not lie. There was an episode where she spoiled the ending of that book for me because she says what happens at the end. And I mean, I'm not going to say it because I'm not going to spoil it for you all if you read it, but she was right.
So the TV show actually ruined the book.
It did. Yes. Saved by the Bell. There's an episode where Lisa gets interested in this guy who is very academic and sophisticated, which wasn't really how Lisa presented herself. So anyway, to like get his attention, she started dressing differently. And then she read Anna Karenina. And in a conversation with him, she just like says what the ending is.
Oh.
And I never forgot it. So I'm like, well, okay, I know how this book ends. It's like 736 pages, but I'm going to read it.
So like, you know, that's a time commitment, 730 pages. Like that's a big time commitment.
I know.
Especially to know how the story ends.
I know. But it was good. I'm glad I read it. No regrets.
Oh, that's awesome.
But when I am not having my nose in a book or writing or hanging out with my wonderful family or, you know, counseling people at Cornerstone of Hope and online, I'm doing this podcast with you, which I love so much.
Yes, it's been such an amazing journey to think that we've been doing this for 2 years now and that God has brought us so many people, brought us an amazing community, and that, you know, we are in 66 different countries around the world. And we have just been blessed by so many women from just every corner of the world reaching out to us. And it's been amazing. So thank you guys for your support over the past couple of years. It's just been great. You guys have really challenged both Nicole and I to grow. In our past couple episodes, we've tackled some really hard topics. In my opinion, you know, we've been talking about biblical womanhood, and you know, that's typically a buzzword. You know, we've talked about the myths because there's a lot of myths out there when it comes to, you know, what does the Bible have to say about being a woman? Versus, you know, our culture doesn't even know what a woman technically is anymore. So what does God have to say about that? You know, we've had some amazing guests like Girl Defined come on and share with us what being a Christian woman actually does entail. And from that, we've talked about different sexuality and sexual topics when it comes to our gender and how and what the Bible says about that. So if you've not listened to those past episodes, go back and check them out because they are amazing.
And if you are loving our show, we would be so appreciative if you guys would give us a review. That would be amazing. If you would share these episodes with your friends, with your family, with your church group, on social media, or just even word of mouth, we would just be so grateful.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm going to take a sip here of my Red Bull.
Ooh.
So if I sprout some wings mid-episode, you know why, you know why.
Yeah. You're changing it up. It used to be the pre-workout.
I know. Okay. So I am a mom, guys. I have 3 under 3. And a lot of people ask me like, oh, how do you do it? How do you have your life together? The secret is that I don't. Pre-workout is amazing. Just take it in, you know, small doses for your heart. But yeah, caffeine is life. So I've started signing off my emails at work, heavily caffeinated cat. So just throw sincerely out the window. We'll just be like, we're going to be honest today, heavily caffeinated.
Nice.
So today we're going to be talking about a topic that is actually kind of personal for me, I guess, guys. So I always describe myself as an extroverted introvert. And it's not always been this way for me, because an uncomfortable story. When I first got married to my husband, I was very much an introvert. So when I'm comfortable around somebody, like I am just myself, and, you know, I feel energized and recharged by getting some me time, which is really rare if you're a mom. All the moms out there know how rare that is. But when I first got married to my husband and we were, you know, doing missionary work, and he asked me one day when we were in a coffee shop, like, you know, why haven't you shared the gospel with your friend? Because I had been praying with and, or praying, I had been praying for and meeting with this woman. And he asked, he's like, well, why haven't you shared the gospel yet with her? And I kept saying, well, it's just, it's not the right time. I don't feel like it's the right time. And he's like, okay, okay. And so as we were in the coffee shop, he's like, well, why don't you go talk to that table over there? Like, why don't you go, you know, strike up a conversation with them and see if they know the gospel. And I was like mortified, because I'm like, go talk to strangers, like just walk up to a random table in this coffee shop and be like, yo, do you know Jesus? like that, it was just so out of character for me. And it led to this conversation with my husband and I, and he basically was like, listen, you know, as Christians, we don't get the introvert card. You know, we don't get to not participate in the lives of other believers. We don't get to withhold the gospel from other people because we're scared of a conversation. And that was a really, really hard truth for me. And I think like that was one of the very first hard conversations my husband and I had together after we got married, was I got to tackle this introverted thing. And for all of my introverted ladies out there who are just like me, there's nothing wrong with being introverted. But the problem becomes when our social anxiety prevents us from doing what Christ has called us to do. It prevents us from serving God the way that He wants us to. And that's what this episode is really going to be about. It's, you know, how can all of us overcome our anxiety when it comes to social situations? Maybe you do actually have a diagnosis of social anxiety, which is actually becoming really common now, Nicole. I looked up the numbers for this episode, and it's about 12% of the American population has a diagnosis of social anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is not surprising given everything that has occurred in our world over the last 3 years, especially for younger people, right? Mm-hmm. College age, high school students, young adults, like COVID has played a massive role in that. And we have become just more like shrunk back into our homes or just into our phones and technology, and everything's instant and texting, and you don't even have to like call and talk to somebody to order food. You can just do it on an app, you know? So
right.
I think all of that plays a definite role into what we're seeing now.
Right. I 110% agree. And so this episode is, you know, for the people who are introverted, who want to know how to be more confident in a social situation, or maybe you're the opposite. Maybe you're the extrovert and people think, oh my goodness, you're so confident. And you're like, but I'm really not. Like, I feel super uncomfortable in social situations. So if you're an extrovert and you just want to have more social confidence, this is for you. Or maybe you're a parent and, you know, you find yourself, you know, wanting to help your kids develop confidence in social situations, because, you know, this is a soft skill that is so important in our personal and our professional lives. So this episode's also for you. This episode's really for anybody. Like if you're going to go have a conversation, this episode's for you.
Right. Basically, there's no reason not to listen and share this episode.
Oh my goodness. I think the first thing that we need to start with is this, the myth of what does social confidence actually look like? Like, what is it? Because I brought up the extroverts, and typically when you're an introvert like me and you see an extrovert, you're like, oh my goodness, like she's so confident. Like she's got this, like, go girl. You're like, I wish I could be like her. And when you actually get to talk to them, they're like, no, I actually feel super uncomfortable in most conversations. And, you know, talking is actually just one of the ways that I comfort myself. Like I just say things, like it just spills out of my mouth. So social confidence is actually the sense of comfort and peace in a social situation. And, you know, it's not always talking. Like you don't have to talk in order to be socially confident. Sometimes social confidence is being an active listener and an active participant in the conversation. You don't always have to be the one that's talking. You can be the active listener.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point to consider, that this is not an episode about how to become the life of the party or right. to become the biggest, most like outgoing person that is in your life, you know, yourself, right? This is right. So I love that you brought that up about it being about that internal process, that calm and peace that you feel in a social situation.
Right. And I think once we know that it's how we feel in the situation, it's that peace, it's that comfort.
It's kind of like it takes that pressure off to know that.
Right. You know, you can actually be there in the moment and focus on that person, and you can actually love and see that person. That kind of transitions into what the Bible has to say when it comes to social confidence, anxiety, and building authentic connections with others. Because, you know, if you're looking for a specific like Bible verse on social confidence, you're probably not going to find it. But when we look at scripture and we look at the big Bible pictures, we see that every person is made in the image of God. You know, Christ loved this person so much that he died for them. And Christ commands every believer to show love to their neighbor, to bear one another's burdens. And one of the best ways, and really, I'm sorry, one of the only ways to do that is to actually go talk to somebody, you know, to go talk to your fellow believers at your church and be like, hey, you know, what's going on in your life right now? How can I pray for you? How can I be there for you this week? Go ask them, go talk to them, because chances are they're really going to appreciate that. And that's a very easy way to show that you care, show the love of Christ, and share one another's burdens. And I guess the flip side of that is we have to go share the gospel with other people, right? Like Christ commanded us to go all throughout the world and share the good news with people. And you have to talk to do that. You have to be vocal. And that's what it took me so long to get to that point. And you know what? Maybe as a Christian podcaster, I should be embarrassed to admit that that was a struggle for me for so long. But I'm honest, guys. Like that's something I really struggled with. And so this is an episode that's near and dear to my heart because of that. And I want you to know that I'm in the same boat with you. Like this episode's for me just as much as it is for you. But social confidence is the sense of peace and comfort that we can have when we are being there for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and also sharing the gospel with the lost.
Right. Yes, because we do need words for that.
Right. So with all that being said, one of the things that makes the biblical woman unique is that Nicole and I are very practical people. You know, we're not just going to throw a bunch of words at you and not tell you how to do it. So we've got a bunch of practical tips on how to do this. So buckle up, grab your pen and your paper or your phone, whatever you got to take notes. Here's what we got from you. And all of these come from psychologists, secular studies on how we can develop this sense of social confidence.
Yes. So when I work with my clients on skills, whether it's communication skills, whether it's how exactly what we're talking about today, social skills, I always emphasize that these skills, these social skills can be learned just like any other skill, just like tying your shoe or making a recipe or whatever it is, any skill can be learned. You guys, I learned how to crochet. I promise you, if I can learn that, anybody can learn anything, but it does take practice, right? It requires something of us when we're learning a skill. It takes practice, and we have to look for the opportunities around us to practice the skills. So I just wanted to start with that encouragement that we truly can learn any skill, and social skills are no exception.
Right. Well, and that should be super encouraging for us, because that means that anybody can be a socially confident person. Anybody can. Like, you can do it. We can do this. Like, we got this.
Yeah.
So, all right, Nicole, hit us with some more tips.
Okay. So we're just going to start off by talking about how to talk to people, right? Like, just kind of like the basics of conversation. And so, especially if it's somebody that you're just getting to know, to ask questions that are open-ended. Mm-hmm. So not just questions that require a yes or no answer, right? So I try to do this with my kids. You know, when they come home from school, I don't say, did you have a good day? Because that's a yes or no answer. Instead, hey, tell me something about your day. Hey, what was your favorite part of the day? Right? They're questions that invite a longer response, more than just a yes or no.
And when you ask open-ended questions, you're making the conversation easier on yourself. Because if they give a longer response, chances are they're going to say something that you can be like, oh, I can connect with that. And then you can have a conversation or ask another question about something they just said. So open-ended questions actually make the conversation easier for you.
Yes, that's a great point. If possible, like trying to make questions that are maybe unexpected. And maybe we'll talk about this later when we talk about small talk. But when you are really trying to get to know somebody and who somebody is, our brain loves questions that we don't expect, because we always get questions like, oh, what do you do? Or where do you live? Right. And there's certainly nothing wrong whatsoever with those questions. Those are needed questions. But our brains really like do release like some extra special fun, like chemicals when we get asked something that we're not expecting. So if I asked you, instead of like, hey, how's your day? I said, hey, I want to know something that you are just excited about for the next, like in 10 years, like what just really excites you, or, you know, just something like that, that might be something that a question you're not expecting.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of building off of that, when someone asks you, hey, how are you doing? You know, don't just give the fine, okay, good. Throw something different out there. Just throw it out there. Make it genuine and true, but you have to break that social script. And it's not hard to do. It's very, very easy. And the example I gave earlier was, instead of signing my emails with sincerely, it's heavily caffeinated. In the business professional setting, like, you know, you get a light chuckle from that. Mm-hmm. So it's not hard to break that social script. And when you do that, people's minds get engaged and we're more likely to connect with one another that way.
I love that. And again, it does take being intentional, because it's easy to slip into what is familiar and what is comfortable.
Right. Being intentional in this area does kind of require us to get a little bit uncomfortable.
Next point is to focus on similarities or commonalities. So because there is always something that we have in common with somebody, even if it is just our location at that present time.
Right. And with a fellow brother or sister in Christ, like, you have the most important thing in common. You are both Christians. Like, you can always find something to talk about when it comes to our faith with another believer.
Yeah. All right. Next point, to give genuine compliments. So don't just say something to say something, like, right, we want to truly mean it. But here's the catch: to compliment somebody on something they have chosen. So for instance, mm-hmm. if you say, oh, I like your smile or your beautiful eyes, it's like, well, thank you. We'd like to hear that. But also mm-hmm. like, I didn't choose that, you know, but if you tell somebody, hey, those are really cool shoes or, oh, that purse, I just love it. Right. That's something that they have chosen to put on, that they have chosen to wear. So it's going to hit different and just might spur on a little bit more conversation. Maybe they'll tell you, oh yeah, I found this purse that blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, something right. like the next point is focusing outward, because so often when we are feeling socially anxious and self-conscious, where is the focus? On ourselves.
It's on us.
On us. So if we are able to put the focus outward and really, and I think we'll talk about this later too, just see the people around you or just to be grounded in the setting where you are, maybe even doing some of those mindfulness. Okay, what can I see? I can see this picture and I see these colors. I see this person. They're wearing these old ratty shoes or these cool high-heeled, whatever. You know, like we start to put our focus outward outside of ourselves, that will calm us down. It was maybe a few months ago, I was at a church and I was speaking, not doing the sermon, but I was just there to like talk for a few minutes about one of my books. But I was excited to do that. But also, you know, you get a little nerves when you get, you know, to talking in front of people. And
right.
I actually used this tip because I would start to like kind of focus in on just one person and like, oh, what are they wearing? Or, oh, okay, the flannel shirt and the boots. And I don't know, it just was like a little something that like helped me to get the focus off of myself. And it was helpful.
No, and that's a really good tip. And that kind of goes into this idea of how can I make small talk easier? Because a lot of us are like, I don't know what to say. Like, I hate small talk. I'm not good at it. But it is a skill and it does take practice. So if you need a couple pointers in the right direction, I got you. So I want to start off with the fact that it's not about your words. It's about how you make the other person feel. And recent studies have shown that 80% of a first meeting have nothing to do with your words. It has everything to do with how that conversation made the person feel.
Oh, that's so important.
Right. So don't stress about your words. Mm-hmm. Instead, be present. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more later. Be authentic and loving.
Yes.
So, because when you are those, you will make that other person feel those as well. Mm-hmm. Moving on, a little bit more practical. One of the tips that has really helped me is to wear a what's it. And it can be anything, guys, anything. A what's it is an item that causes people to be like, what is that? And to get them to ask questions, to get them to strike up a conversation. As you can see, my background here is very nerdy. I'm into a lot of different things. And so I will incorporate that into how I dress. Especially if we are going out or we are doing something with our church in the community. I have different lanyards. I have a Star Wars. I have a Naruto. I have a Pokemon. I have earrings. I will do bracelets. I will do t-shirts. But wear something that you like. It's okay to be different. So wear something that you're passionate about that someone else could be like, oh, I really love that too. And just right off the bat, you already have a similarity. You both share the same passion for that thing. And even if that other person doesn't know, you know, what your t-shirt is from, that gives them something to ask about. And it makes the conversation easier for them because there's nothing harder or like more uncomfortable than just like in the middle of small talk when it goes quiet. And you're just sitting there like twiddling your thumbs like, oh, I don't know what to say. So wearing a what's it can be very helpful for the other person and helpful for you as well.
Those are good. I love the idea of intentionally wearing something that could be a conversation starter. I think that's great.
Right. And it's so easy to do and it's very impactful. Yeah. So two questions that I want to leave you guys that are small talk options. Are if you are in a group setting, And there are, you maybe know one person, or maybe there's a couple people that you don't know, but they seem to know each other. Ask the question, how did you all meet? How did you guys meet? And that will get them on a storytelling journey. And you will walk away knowing how they met, but they will also enjoy getting to share with you like how they met. And that can lead to some great conversation topics. So now that we've kind of talked a little bit about the small talk, we got to talk about posture. We got to talk about body language. So yeah. Nicole, I'm going to let you do this one.
Yes, this is a huge one. So our posture, even if inwardly you're maybe not feeling so confident, you can kind of like trick your body and trick yourself into feeling more confident than you actually are on the inside. And so one of these ways is through our posture. So if you are standing up tall, you are having your head up, right? You are just going to shoulders back, naturally feel a little bit more confident than if you're kind of hunched over or your eyes are down, right? Even if it feels awkward or unnatural, like fixing your posture really, one, other people think you look more confident, but you right. will feel more confident. And just being open, relaxed, keeping your palms out. This is not some weird like yoga thing, but really just is like, there's a difference. Like you just, if you turn your palms up, like you feel a little bit more vulnerable, but you're also a little bit more relaxed. It kind of lowers, helps you lower your shoulders, right? Usually the more tense we are, our shoulders kind of creep up closer to our ears. Mm-hmm. So if we are able to have like a more open, standing tall, relaxed, palms out kind of posture, we're just going to look approachable and we're going to feel a little bit more confident and relaxed than if we are not doing those things.
And I think something to keep in mind is that clenched hands can't give. So if you've got your hands all closed up like this, you can't give to somebody. And that's really what conversation is. It is us giving to another person. It is us giving time. It is us giving connection. And it could be something very important like the gospel. We are giving them the gospel. So keeping your hands open, we are giving this person something. We are being generous in some way.
Like that.
So conversation is us being a giver, but in order to be a giver, we have to be vulnerable. We have to be willing to put ourselves in a vulnerable spot. And, you know, it's going to make us feel a little bit uncomfortable sometimes, but having this relaxed posture shows that we are a giver and that we are willing to put ourselves in a risky position by getting to know this person.
Yeah, that's good. Another thing that we can do is to smile.
Yes.
Always better if you're smiling at somebody, but even if you're just anxious in a social situation, if you just smile, even if you're faking it, it's a fake smile. It's like it tricks your brain and it does just kind of naturally relax you. So we had this teammate in college on the track team and he was super smart guy. He was really interesting. Shout out to Doyle if you are listening, but he would literally be like on the backstretch of a 400 kicking everybody's butt. But then you would see him like on the track as he's sprinting, like smile, like he would intentionally like smile because it like helps keep you relaxed, right? I mean, as you're running and especially as you're sprinting, it is a tendency to like, again, like kind of tighten up, your shoulders and whatnot, right? You want to stay relaxed as you're going to run faster. So you would see him on the backstretch like smiling. And so I think about that sometimes, both when I've been in races myself, but also just in general, in public, in social situations, just smile. It does work. It's a good little hack.
Right. Body language can say a lot of things without us ever having to say a word. And a trick that I have learned over the years is what is fondly called the big baby pivot.
Okay. You got to tell us.
Got to tell you guys this. So this comes from a psychologist who I can't remember his name for the life of me, but he talks about this idea that, you know, deep down inside, we are all children. You know, we all want to be loved and accepted and to have real connections with people. So when we are having a conversation with someone, one of the best ways to establish that is to do the big baby pivot. And that is to make your body, turn your body and give this person your full attention. And by doing that, you are like subconsciously telling them, hey, I think you're special. I think you're cool. I like you. Like you are telling them all of these things without ever actually saying those words to them.
I like that. I also, it kind of made me think about, you know, the old classic thing that if you're giving a, you know, presentation and you're nervous to picture people in their underwear. But as you were talking about this, I was like, okay, so instead of like picturing people in their underwear, just like imagining them as like big babies.
Yeah, it's called the big baby pivot. I think the title's hilarious, but it is acknowledging that we all want to feel loved and accepted and to have genuine connections with others. And okay. Your body language can do that for you.
Yeah, I love that. Some other ways to stay relaxed if you are getting anxious in a social situation. These, again, I talk about all the time at my work with my clients. So I'm going to teach you just a couple of them real quick. The first one is probably one of the most popular techniques for calming. So it is simply called hand tracing breathing. So basically, you just like hold out your hands, like spread your fingers kind of out a little bit. And basically what you do is with your opposite index finger, you would just like slowly start to trace up your thumb. And as you're doing that, you would like breathe in. And then like as you go down, trace down your thumb, you breathe out. And then you just repeat that, you know, so then as you go going up the next finger, you're just like breathing in, going down, you're breathing out. So you just like trace your hand. Obviously, you can go back the other way. And it's just so relaxing, like that synchronization of the breath with the touch. And especially if you do it with your eyes closed, it is like super relaxing. So maybe in a public situation, you wouldn't close your eyes, but just to even sit there and kind of do that, like you can do that pretty discreetly. Nobody really knows like that you're doing it. That really does have like kind of slows our heart rate, just slows us down, has a really great calming effect. The other one I would just call like breath counting. The numbers don't matter as much as long as your out breath, your exhale is longer than your inhale. So for me personally, I use this one quite a bit. Sometimes if I'm just like in church or I'm in session and like my foot's tapping, you know, yeah. I'll just kind of get that, have like that energy or whatever. And I'm like, oh, I just like, I need to calm. And so when in those situations, I will use breath counting. So I will just like be conscious to like breathe in and I'll count slowly to like three. And then I might hold it for one or two and then like breathe out for four or maybe five, depending. So it's just kind of like this counting of the breath, what's going out, you know, the exhale is longer than the inhale. And after doing that for a couple minutes, like, again, this is one of those things, you don't just like take one breath and expect it to be like a magic thing. Yeah. But I mean, if you really do that for a minute or two, you do feel calmer. And I always tell my people too, with all of these specific calming skills, they become more effective the more that you do them. So again, like maybe like try the hand tracing one once and you're like, ah, it's okay, but it wasn't great. Keep doing it. Try it many, like multiple times, because we have to train our brain how to relax. And sometimes that does take time. The last one I'll say real quick is a calming skill, and you can do it anytime, anywhere. Nobody really knows what you're doing again, but it's just like, if you ball up, maybe you're like your left foot, like just kind of tense it for a few seconds, like not super hard, but like, you know, make it tense.
Don't pass out.
Don't hurt yourself. Yeah. And then like slowly release it. And then like do that to, you know, your right foot. And then you basically just kind of like do that, like working your way up all the muscle groups. But I love that again, because it's accessible. You can do that anytime, anywhere. Nobody is even going to know that you're doing it. But again, it's just like getting your body to relax. When we get tense and anxious, like our tendency is for our muscles to tense up. Like we don't have to consciously think to do that. It just happens. So when we're able to do this tense and relax exercise, it is like us consciously taking back that control of our body, because we're like making ourselves tense and then releasing.
And that's what's so cool about these calming skills is that, you know, they are addressing the physical side of our social anxiety. So yeah. When we are able to slow our heart rate down, we're able to cause our muscles to just relax, and we're able to actually be present in the conversation, it's going to go well. And remember, social confidence is a skill. It is something that you can learn, and it is something that you can master. These were our practical tips for this episode. And stay tuned for next episode because we're going to be covering 10 additional ways that you can develop your confidence in social situations as a Christian woman. If this episode was helpful for you, please leave us a review. And until next time.